You are listening to Fantha Tracks.
They love you. You know.
This is Princess Leia Organa. You're listening to Planet Leia.
Permission is granted to land on Planet Leia. Brought to you by Fantatrax. Here are your hosts, Claire Henry and Johanna Nibielios.
Hello there. Welcome to Planet Leia. And you're joined by myself, Claire Henry, and my co-host,
Johanna Lindia Nibelius.
And no matter how many times I try to say it, I am never going to pronounce it like that.
Yeah. So have and you been... I'm not going to make it easier for you to try and to
no,
like
I know that.
Do
yeah.
my
I
English think... sounding either, because no.
I feel that, you know, anybody listening to our podcast now is now tuned into both our accents. You know, let's go with the strong accents of a Northern Irish and a Swedish, and let's see how we go from there. So did you get any Star Wars things for Christmas this year?
No.
No, no, neither did nothing, I.
No, neither. Nothing Star Wars. You know, living like with a husband and family who doesn't understand Star Wars at all. I mean, I'm stuck with if I want something, I have to really say, I want this.
I got one Star Wars quiz book as part of my Secret Santa from work because they all know what I'm like.
Yeah.
But I didn't get anything at all. Usually I get something. Oh, that is, oh, no, wrong. 100%. Sorry, my dad, not that he's probably listening, but yes, my dad got me a desktop calendar. You know, one of the rip-off?
Yeah.
A day, a page. And that's really good fun because every day I rip it off and it tells me a little Star Wars fact about a character or a planet or a spaceship or a droid or whatever. That's a nice present. No, but really, that was it.
I would say Christmas was more like in an Indiana Jones way because we were down with my husband's family and his niece got the whole Indiana Jones Raiders of the Lost Ark, when he goes into the first scene, basically, in the jungle temple. She
yes.
got that as a Lego set, and she built it. It took her, like, to the whole time we were there to build it, and it's marvelous. And then, of course, we had to watch Indy. So it was more of an Indy mode over Christmas.
And we can say that's a kind of a Lucasfilm
yeah.
thing, can't we?
So it's a tie-in.
It's all the yeah. same, isn't it, in that sense?
And it was a remarkable set, I mean... It was so fascinating with all the trapdoors and lightning Lego bricks and as well. It was really fun.
I have to say, any Lego set that I've built, they are so intricate. And how they make the things that they make to make it look like the things. You know, I have Leia's spaceship. Sophie and I did that. And if you have a look on the YouTube channel, you have Sophie and I building it fast speed. And that took us a whole day and a half.
Today. I mean, I love A-Wings. And of course, when the A-Wing was released in the 1990s or maybe early 2000, of course, I get the A-Wing in Lego. And then they re-released a newer version, what is it, like 10 years ago? And it's so interesting to have them side by side because you really see how more detailed the newer version is with everything. On the other hand, as one who grew up with basically a lot of these generic Lego bricks, there's nothing special with it. They have built it from available bricks.
And it looks like a Lego spaceship.
Yes.
You know, now they are very sleek. I mean, Sophie got the Friends Cafe Lego set. And again, it was, you know, sleek and it had all the bits and pieces in it too. But I did go skiing. I'm not going to lie. I did buy myself, as you say, if you're going to get Star Wars stuff, you've got to buy it yourself, haven't you? I bought myself and if you check out my Instagram, Irish Geek Girl, you can see it. I bought the Roku X-Wing Pilot Ski Helmet.
Oh,
it's absolutely epic. I mean, it just looks the part. It's hilarious. And people who knew what it was all made a comment on it.
That might even make me wear a helmet. Now, you should always wear a helmet when
you should wear a helmet, Johanna,
yes,
but I'm going
yes,
to say...
Yes, I know. But I am brought up in like in the 1980s when all you wanted to do was become big enough that you didn't need a crash helmet. But you should wear it. And I have had a crash helmet the last time I've gone skiing. But it's still like, I want to have a really cool cap instead of a helmet.
It is really funny, you know, how it's all evolved over the years. Because I remember skiing with O'Neill, you know, like a woolly hat on and my really trendy goggles. But this helmet is so comfortable, really light, and it looks absolutely epic with my Anon Star Wars goggles. But I did try to get the Columbia Red 5 goggles, and I was toying with it because it was $250.
Yeah.
So that was like £150 more than the helmet was.
I will never quite forgive myself. In the end of the 1990s, I mean, we have a small mountain cabin. That's why I am brought up on skis. In the 1990s, I was old enough to recognize that we had a pair of perfect hot ski goggles from the early 80s there, because everything gets thrown up there and you use it. And it was a pair of regular ski goggles, but they were so perfect for hot because that was the kind that they used. And we threw them out and I didn't stop them. I was old enough to recognize them. I was not old enough to say, no, don't do it. Yeah.
I was talking with somebody about that yesterday as well. I'm in a thing called a parent-teacher association, big thing over here in England and their schools, and it's like parents helping out. And we were sorting out the cupboard, and I was saying that Marcus's and my New Year's resolution is to go up into our attic to clear it out. Now, I'm going to say probably a quarter of it is taken up with my Star Wars collection, and I'm really deciding what I'm going to do with it. Because it just sits up there. So I have found a collector display shelves. I'm going to buy that and I'm going to choose 60 of my figures that I want to display on it. And then that led to a conversation then about how one of the guys I was with said, yes, my parents threw out my brother's Star Wars. I think it was his brother's Star Wars collection, just took it to the tip and dumped it. And then I say on hindsight, it was probably worth thousands. But you don't know those things now. So I'm really, really toying with the idea of what do I do with my collection? Because I do have, I've lots of figures unboxed. In fact, all my figures unboxed. They were played with. Andrew Walker and I played with our Star Wars toys. But my ships, except for the Millennium Falcon, all have the original boxes.
For me, it was quite easy. Yeah, when I decided that, no, I'm not going to be a general collector. I'm just going to buy very narrow scopes. So, I mean, today I just buy the costume space. If a figure comes out with a character or a costume that I really like, that's the only thing.
And I mean, I know that there are people like collect all the figures and do all that. But I have a feeling even that noise kind of dying out from listening to people talking about the figures, you know, Paul and Mark and Carl and Martin and stuff. It seems to me that even that is dying out now because Hasbro is the main people for it and it's all repaints, not anything terribly exciting.
It's not an investment. I mean, they're not going to be as valuable as the original toys were from the 70s. I mean, they are valuable because there were so few of them. People loved them, destroyed them while playing with them. You're not going to get a value from a figure that's out there in thousands getting just peg warmers. No.
I can't see anybody really in 20 years' time saying, oh, I really can't wait to get that Black Series Christmas Stormtrooper. I can't really see that happening, but I can still see that there might potentially be a market if Star Wars, you know, the originals and the prequels and all that. So I have a feeling that I'll keep my figures and put them in a really fancy, you know, display thing. And I think I'm going to sell the rest because it's just sitting up there. Call it my retirement plan, maybe.
If you're lucky, it could definitely help. I have the Snow Clone Christmas figure because it also came with a very small porg. And so that one I have with my Christmas ornaments.
But that's what we're saying, isn't it?
Because it was so cute and crazy. Yeah. And it's standing next to my dinosaur in that Santa hat.
That's the thing. You and I are definitely now of the ilk where we buy stuff that's a little bit niche. The ski helmet. Absolutely brilliant. I bought it because I remember having that conversation with my friend Stu, and he said, I can see that those are Star Wars ski goggles. It would be great if you had the X-Wing pilot helmet. And I was like, yeah, that would be brilliant. even contemplate buying the Columbia X-Wing all-in-one. You could have bought that as a ski suit. It was ridiculous price. And I'm not wearing a onesie going skiing. That's just...
That sounds... That all feels like really 1980s ski suits.
Oh, God. Those purple and neon bright ski suits. Yeah, no.
As I said, our cabin up in the mountains is really a bit of a museum of what people have been wearing in the 70s, 80s and 90s.
Excellent. And it's coming back into fashion, Johanna, so you might need to get it back out again. But, well, I'm going to be brutal. Like, I've got loads of comics. I think I've got, like, the number 2 first comic ever printed. You know, I've got all that sort of stuff. So I really do need... And the first annual, Star Wars annual. I've definitely got that. I'm not going to lie, it's probably a bit battered, but even still. As you can see, we're already just blabbering about Star Wars. Isn't it great?
But when you're talking about comics, maybe that's a good way to segue into the topic that we're talking about today.
Yeah. Do you want to share with everybody what we're going to talk about today?
Evil women in canon.
My name is Ingrid Dyler. I played Princess Leia in Rogue One, and you're listening to Fan for Tracks.
Last time we talked about evil women in the old legends, but now it's time to go on to more modern evil women and that are out there in the galaxy.
It's an interesting topic for me because it's really not something that I am 100%. I had to do a bit of delving, and some of them, are they evil or just misunderstood?
And I think this is where we've also see a difference from legends to the current canon. People are much more gray. You had your bad guys and you had your good guys. Nowadays, even the bad guys bad women get an interesting story, and you have a lot of people who are really interested in them.
And you can see that at like conventions and stuff, can't you? Evil women are quite heavily portrayed in cosplay and stuff.
Hi, this is Amy Ratcliffe and you're listening to Fantatrax.
I happened to go down to the Disney 100 exhibition down at the Excel Centre. If it's on tour near you, go and see it. It was fascinating, the history of Disney, but it also happened to clash with MegaCon and RuPaul's Drag Race.
Uh-huh.
So put cosplay and drag queens all together and it makes a brilliant game, which is cosplay or drag queen. And sometimes it was a little bit hard to distinguish between the two. Where I was going with that is there were a lot of female baddies. I'll kick off with one, and it's from the new films, and that's Phasma. So there was an excellent Phasma. I think probably one of the most interesting characters in the new films.
And Phasma was interesting because that was set up as evil woman, because most of the women that have taken place and become as bad guys are not in the films. It's in the comics and the novels, but here Phasma was made to be like a bad guy, and she was so big when it came to the marketing of the first films. Of course, then she was also a bit disappointing, but they didn't know what to do with the character.
It really annoyed me because she just became a bitter and twisted old menopausal woman by the end of it. Do you know what I mean? She could have been such a great character.
And she was reduced to like just being the cool armor.
Yes. And the armor was cool. And she looked good. I attempted to read Phasma's book, but I got into the first couple of chapters of it.
But that's also interesting here with this. With Phasma is, of course, that among the cosplayers, there are quite a few men who do Phasma, since really she's in armor with a helmet on. You don't need to see the face. No one knows if it's a man or a woman. And I think that's still pretty interesting to like that men are okay with doing a character if it's a cool enough armor.
She was clearly highly up in the ranks, wasn't she?
Yeah.
And clearly stood out and special for what she did. But there was no depth in her character in the films, which is a shame because you have Gwendolyn Christie,
a really great actress,
doing that. And I feel that she was there for the looks.
We have designed a really cool character, but they didn't have a plan for her. I have been thinking more about the film. I mean, and that is, if you take episodes 7, 8, 9, that's it when it comes to like evil women in the foreground. You can see them in the background.
Here's one we should move on to Kira.
Kira in Solo. And I mean, there you have one who got really big. But once again, it's because she's so conflicted. I mean, we see her first as this naive young girl. We see her through Han's eyes, really. But it's throughout the films you start to realize that I think Han is wrong here. This is a woman who's not the nice girl she might have been back on Corellia.
Well, I was reading into it because she's one of the ones that I think is a really interesting one. And if the rumors are true and they're going to do sort of a backstory to Kira, I think she'll be a good one to do. Okay, you've had Obi-Wan, which was essentially Princess Leia younger. But if you were to do something based around Kira and what happened to her, Corellia to the film, yeah, and her involvement with Dryden Voss and the Crimson Dawn, there's clearly a whole backstory there.
And also what she does after Solo as well. We want to see that.
I know that there's been theories about her, mm-hmm, you know, about how she's dueled with this one and that one. And I am just wondering, will they bring that to the fore, or what are they going to do about it, if you know what I mean?
I would say, though, if we're talking about if they would be able to make a good Kira story, it's how dark do they dare to go? You get the feeling that she has done some really dark things to get out of Corellia. And that's probably what, for us as quite older, mature adults, that's quite interesting to see a character who has to probably take some really bad choices and how she's transformed into this badass assassin that she is, but also ready to kill. I'm not sure they would like to go that dark. I mean, you have Andor and it's really dark, but it's still quite idealistic. You're ready to die, yeah, for the ideal, for rebellion. Here would just be do whatever it takes to survive.
Because at the minute, there's a big hoo-ha around drugs baroness, yeah, shall we call her, yeah, that has got a TV series or a film made about her. Mm. And it's gone dark because, mm, she was a very clever woman against a whole load of men. If you're going to do a Kira storyline, you need to base it on a drug boss. That's how I feel Kira should be portrayed. I don't care if she was trained by XYZ or anything like that.
No.
I want to see her in her ruthlessness.
Mm.
But no,
and you definitely get a feeling that there's some kind of human trafficking involved as well.
Oh,
as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And that's where I'm talking. How dark do you want to go?
Oh, I think you should go that dark. Yeah. I would be all up for that. Because in Solo, as you say, it's a bit lighthearted, isn't the word, skips over it.
We see her through Han's eyes, and really the whole Solo film, which I really like, is a lighthearted adventure.
Yeah.
But you have these hints that her story is not lighthearted.
No. You see her through rose-tinted goggles in Solos, because ultimately she was his sweetheart, wasn't she? But I feel that she's got a good story that the Lucasfilm could explore. And if, yeah, you were to get the actress back involved with it, that, I mean, that would just be epic. And they have talked about it, haven't they?
In a way, that would be like The Mandalorian, but in the center of the galaxy, not on an outpost where you don't have society. This would be like in the midst of everything. It's nightclubs, people everywhere, trading, drugs, trafficking, everything, really.
I do think there is a scope for more adult, if that makes sense. I know, mm, Star Wars was written for the 11-year-old child. I fully appreciate that. But I think a sophisticated audience, mm, would go for it. And if you could get Emilia Clarke on board to do it, that would be, mm, even better. I would say she's a good example of somebody who is a grey one.
For everything in one location. Daily news, reviews, interviews, podcasts, video and social media feeds. Bookmark FanthaTracks.com for Star Wars news 24/7, 365.
Another grey one then will be Reva. We saw a hint of them and Obi-Wan.
Yeah, and of course they come from earlier from Rebels, where you had the Inquisitors and you had the Second Sister and everyone. But then you do get them more fleshed out in Obi-Wan.
they look cool and lack substance.
Here is, of course, a bit of a challenge to take a cool-looking cartoon character and turn it into something interesting. In the end, I mean, she was interesting in Obi-Wan, but she also was very predictable. Okay, so she wasn't really evil, she just wanted to have revenge. You can compare that really to Elspeth now in Ahsoka, who's okay. Much more interesting, because there you get an interesting story. And in a way, I'm wondering, is that because she was not a cartoon character first? The Night Sisters are cartoon characters, and I mean, we talked about them a bit, that you had the Legends Night Sisters, and now through the Clone Wars and into Ahsoka, they were transformed and brought into canon in quite a bit of different iteration, in that they are so much more powerful than they were in Legends, with their magic, and they can raise the dead and do so many things. But from Ahsoka, we really take on that she was an interesting story. I would have loved to hear more why she was so obsessed with finding her sisters.
It's almost like the writers are too scared to go that way. I feel they could. Don't be frightened of portraying women as evil, particularly in that one, because it does happen. And I think they don't have to be followers or, you know, or anything like that.
And once again, it's the grey characters. People are very rarely nowadays dark or evil. They are somewhere in between all of them. But once again, if we go to Ahsoka, that was what was interesting, in that we actually had a character there who was, I mean, you didn't really see anything redeemable about Morgan Elspeth.
No.
And she was interesting for it.
And she wasn't bitter, she wasn't twisted, it wasn't revenge-driven. She just was not a nice person.
No, she wanted to bring back her Night Sister, become a Night Sister and use their powers.
They started to just let us see that sort of evilness come through, which was brilliant. But again, they just put the honkers on it. They held back.
Don't do that. We can take evil women. If we go outside of Star Wars, one of the best female main characters in any franchise is Ripley in Alien.
Yes.
And why is she so good? Because they didn't write her as a woman. The character was written neutral, and then in the end they just decided to cast, they decided to cast a woman in the role. And that's why she's so interesting, because they didn't stick to any, this is how a woman should be. She was just a fully fleshed character. So, and we need more of that in Star Wars.
So do you think then what they should do is write the characters as evil, not putting it one or the other, and then deciding this is the way to go? Darth Vader. And they're not frightened of making him evil in any of the new TV series or anything. You see him snapping the head of a kid. Make it so with the others, if that makes sense.
Then, of course, you can have these really grey characters that are, and I totally understand, I've never personally been as drawn to those characters. I am so shallow that I like good guys with a hint of grey, but these totally grey characters. And, of course, I totally understand that, like, in a comic, you have a lot more possibilities to flesh out a character than if they have just a certain amount of set time on the screen or screen time, because you do have another character, and she is a comic character, and that's Dr. Aphra, who's really more like, when you're reading about her, it's like, okay, you need some therapy sessions, girl, more than anything.
You could do with a good therapist.
Yeah, I mean, she needs a therapist. She works for Darth Vader, but it's like, it's obvious she's in it for her own, and she's doing whatever suits her best. We live in a world where anti-heroes are really popular, and Dr. Aphra is an anti-hero. I mean, she was conceived even like the anti-Indiana Jones of the Star Wars galaxy, the bad guy who always ends up finding loot and treasures all over the world. But I think, as I totally understand the draw of her, and I totally understand that in comics, I mean, she has her whole comic series where she's came first in the Vader comics, and then she was spin off with her own comic series, where you can do a lot of more fleshing out. And she is a fascinating, great character. But it's also like, you need a therapist and you wouldn't have had all these adventures and mishaps happening to you if you just like sat down and talked through your feelings about your parents being abandoned, the fact that you can't make friends.
She is very popular.
Yeah.
And she is one of the ones that you see a lot of people dressing up as in cosplay in the conventions.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that is because she is a complicated character who...
I will say myself, since I do have an archaeology exam, like, well, there is just one archaeologist really, and so should I do a Dr. Aphra?
The evil female characters stem really, don't they, from the cartoons or the comics?
Yeah.
And then they're being brought into, some of them, I should say, are being brought into TV.
You do have Admiral Sloan, who came in the novels first. In the Aftermath series, wasn't that?
Oh, that
the first
she
one?
Was brilliant.
Yeah. That's like, we talked in the last episode about how bad Admiral Dala was written. Sloane is, of course, the good version. This is how you write a good and interesting imperial woman.
Yeah, now you've said it, and I have read all the Aftermath trilogy. I know lots of people say that they didn't enjoy it and they didn't like it, but I kind of wanted to understand that time in between it to try and work it out. She was ambitious. No, okay. Was she evil because she was ambitious and all the rest of it? No, but she was ambitious in the imperial thing. She wanted what she wanted.
Yeah,
I really enjoyed her as a character, actually. God, I forgot about her. Well done. I've completely forgotten about her.
And there she is. I mean, she's very similar then to Andor, where you have Deidre Miro, who's also like this ambitious, who's working within the framework of the imperial rules, regulations, you should follow the rules, do what we say. But is she evil, or is she just working with what you're supposed to do when you're working with the Empire?
Until we see the next series, I'm not sure.
I think it will be very interesting to see how Deidre Miro ends up. Easy thing would be to make her, oh, she was good in the end. She was good, really. She just was misplaced. But of course, this is Andor we're talking about. They have not taken the easy route out with the characters, and they are so gray. So it will be really interesting to see where she is in the final episode of Andor.
Is she working within the framework and just doing as she told? No, I don't. I think she absolutely is completely full of their ideology.
But is it because she's evil or because she's been brought up in it and she's found the Empire, it's safe, it's secure compared to the chaos of the last days of the Republic?
She's ambitious.
Yes.
But being ambitious doesn't mean you're always evil.
If we're going to take this out to like another franchise where I've always had a problem with that characterization of ambition and being evil, and that's Harry Potter, especially in the films, as soon as you're put in Slytherin, you're evil. But no, the Slytherins are supposed to be ambitious, and that does not equal. One of my issues I have, it's not quite the same in the books, but in the films it's like, yeah, you're evil, you're a Slytherin. No, you're supposed to be ambitious.
And does that make you evil? Your beliefs make you evil. If you are a Sith or a part of the Inquisitors, I would say evil. It's in their philosophy. It's in their beliefs. They're not ambitious in that sense. They have a common goal and a common cause, and they believe in that. There's not necessarily, although I suppose when we were looking and when Reva took charge and they all got cross. Okay, so we're getting into the realms now, evil or ambitious.
And of course, that's part of what makes this interesting. But if we want to generalize here, I think what we're saying is that on screen, there have been harder to get interesting, strong female evil women, but they have gotten quite a lot of space in the comics, in the novels. And we're still really waiting for the real bad guy. We had Morgan Elsbeth in Ahsoka, but she died.
I think this
and
is
and she couldn't compete with Thrawn, of course. I mean, you can't have both Elsbeth and Thrawn and the Night Sisters. You have to have one bad guy.
Hi, this is Julie Dolan, the voice of Princess Leia, and you're listening to Fanthatrax. It's your only hope.
Evil in Star Wars is portrayed as wanting to have complete control over everything else.
Yeah.
The Emperor, control over everything. Thrawn wanting control over the empire. So in Star Wars, evil equals ambition. You don't have anybody really evil for evil's sake. Phasma, evil, yes. Head of the training academy, yes. What made her like that? We don't know. Is she evil or is she constrained about it? How on earth are we talking ourselves out of any of these people being evil when clearly they are?
I think it has to do with sympathy for them. If a character is interesting enough, you get sympathy for them. And then we're sitting here, are they really evil? No, maybe they're just ambitious. They're committing genocide, but are they really evil?
And the answer then to it is, yes, they are. You cannot have sympathy for people who kill innocents who have really got nothing to do with it. So, no. Oh my gosh, how are we getting ourselves wrapped around in all this? It's okay, so then it maybe is clever writing because you are having these debates.
Yes, and we want to see the good in people. But what I also think was there, we are waiting still for a really main character that's also an evil woman. We haven't had that quite yet. We'll see what happens with whatever TV series and films are coming whenever they are coming.
There's talk, isn't there, now about the Rey film, and there's talk about the Mandalorian film. Is that where we're going to see a female villain who is purely evil?
I would not think in the Mandalorian, because I think the Mandalorian film will be what really ties the Filoniverse together. And there you have the Night Sisters, sure, you had Morgan Elsbeth, but his main villain is Thrawn. The Rey film, there's so much up in the air, and the same goes for all the other projects that's been talked about. So it's up in the air, but I definitely think it's time that we get a pure evil main character that's also female.
I would love it if the new Rey film, if it ever gets off the ground and whatever, but yeah. Wouldn't that be a brilliant thing that Rey's academy and the battle ensuing is a female villain?
Oh, yeah. Who's for some reason has found the Sith? Because, I mean, Rey destroyed Palpatine, but there must be so much Sith lore out there. You can restart the Sith Order. And yes, it would be so interesting to see a female Sith.
And do you know what? If they did that, that would really twist Star Wars on its head in a way.
Yeah.
I know it will really annoy a lot of people, and they'll.
But they will be annoyed by a Rey film anyway, so don't try to please them. Make a good film instead.
That's what I'm saying. Go for it. Make it like the Barbie film, in the sense that I know it caused a lot of grief, but do you know what? It was a really good film,
yeah.
And it sat really comfortably between. Yeah. All the problems that we're having at the minute with female-centered films. Be brave enough, give us a good evil woman, and have a proper good versus evil Rey against a female film. I think that would be brilliant.
It would be brilliant.
And not an ambitious one. Absolutely do not put any doubt into our heads. Come up with a solid...
A power-hungry person who wants to rule the galaxy.
And the only way they're going to do it is by absolutely destroying innocent people all the way through it, and Rey has to battle them.
We are ready for it.
I'm ready for it.
The whole Star Wars fandom is ready for it.
Well, we are. I'm not sure some of them are based on the comments I see on our Facebook page, but, you know, it's fine. Do you know what, Johanna? I think it's you and I should be part of the story group.
Yes, we should. We should.
And
even if we like good people, we still want to have a real bad girl.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, we are. And this is why I think I've struggled with this. A, because they're pretty weak, evil people, because we haven't seen them being massively evil. Mm. And there's something draws me to the light side of it all. That's for another episode,
maybe,
isn't it?
Maybe we should, like, for the next episode, try to do something lighter. We need to come back to the light.
I think we need to come back to the dark. I think we need to do a little bit more lighthearted stuff. I can't believe it. It's nearly been an hour already.
But it shows that we have a lot to talk about. But until we come up with something easier and light, more lighthearted, or simply about good characters, well, you have us talking about evil women.
thank you very much to everybody listening to us. If this is your first episode, welcome. As you've probably realised now, we talk a load of nonsense and we talk a load of stuff too that really interests us, and we may go off on tangents. If you're a follower of us, thank you very much for following us and listening to us again today and letting us have the privilege of talking Star Wars. It's brilliant.
But, and of course, we would love to get some feedback what you would like us to talk about in the future.
Yeah, message the Facebook or Instagram, or message us personally on our Instagram accounts if you can. Irish Geek Girl for me.
And Bam de Kulam.
But for now, I'm going to hand over to my co-host to say thank you very much.
Yeah, and I really want to say thanks for listening to Planet Leia. And if you want to be a part of the action and stay updated on all the latest Star Wars news, visit panthertracks.com and be sure to comment, like, and share on any of our social media feeds at panthertracks. You can reach out to us and send in your listeners' question by emailing radio@panthertracks.com. Subscribe, leave a review, preferably a 5-star one. On Amazon Music, Audible, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or your podcatcher or smart speaker of choice. And as always, thanks to James Sample for composing the Fantatracks intro and our Planet Leia opening music, and Mark Daniel and Vanessa Marshall for our voiceovers. Remember to tune in to Good Morning Tatooine live Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. UK, 4 p.m. Eastern, and 1 p.m. Pacific on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch. And check out our Fantatracks Radio Friday night rotation every Friday at 7 p.m. UK for new episodes of The Fanta from Down Under, Planet Leia, Desert Planet Discs, Start Your Engines, Collecting Tracks, Cannon Fodder, and special episodes of Making Tracks. And every Tuesday at 7 p.m. UK time for your weekly episode of Making Tracks.
Just to say thank you very much again for listening. And from myself and Johanna, we love you.
You know.
Coming up next on Fanta Tracks Radio, it's Making Tracks.